Welcome to Conversations with Spirit, where we dive deep into the mystical and enchanting realms of spirituality. I'm your host, spiritual medium Lori Albert, and together with special guests, we explore a world of spiritual insights and experiences, as well as offer captivating mediumship and oracle card readings. Tune in for enlightening conversations that will uplift your soul and expand your consciousness. I've got an amazing guest tonight, you guys. Dr. Julie Starr, okay? Wait till you hear about her. I can't wait to read her bio to you because this is like amazing, right? Dr. Julie Starr has a PhD in psychology with a concentration in consciousness and spirituality, which I can't wait to talk to you about, by the way. A former deputy sheriff and university professor who awakened to her psychic abilities in adulthood. She currently offers clairvoyant readings, mediumship, intuitive, spiritual counseling, and paranormal troublesome entity consultations and clearing, which is another thing I can't wait to talk about. So Julie and Evolve Me's founder, Theon Paulino Filippelli, have created an amazing internet show called Paranormal Mediums. And that is a weekly show full of paranormal activity, spirited stories, and live readings for the audience, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And so I'm super excited to have you here. Welcome, Julie. Thanks for coming.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always such a pleasure to talk with you.
So, Julie, oh my gosh, I told everybody in advertising this session, I told everybody to bring their spirit stories, to bring their ghost stories. And so if they want to like talk about that or whatever, and you guys, a little bit later, we will be working in some readings. So if you have any questions for Julie, or if you, stick around for later and we will do some readings. So there you go. Super excited about this. So, okay. My first question to you is, I love that you have a PhD in psychology with a concentration in consciousness and spirituality. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. I know that sounds silly it's not that I don't understand it, but wow, that must have been a great field of study for you.
Oh my gosh. I was so lucky to be able to find these programs. So this is when I was living in California, because it's in California where you can find things like this.
Yeah.
And I got my master's degree in what's called transpersonal psychology at John F. Kennedy University. Okay. And at the time it was in Orinda, California. So transpersonal psychology, it's psychology, but it brings in that aspect of ourselves that's bigger than ourselves. So we study Eastern philosophies, we study world religions, we study things that you normally wouldn't study in a psychology program, because we're seeing ourselves and we're looking at people from a more holistic perspective. And that includes the spirit and that experience of being part of something that's bigger than yourself. So it's not just about mind. It's not just about mental processes and behavior. It brings in that spiritual piece.
Love that. That's the way it should all be in my head.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing. And then my PhD was psychology with the consciousness and spirituality aspect. So it was more of the same, basically, but then bringing more of the consciousness studies in, which is absolutely like, it's hard to wrap your mind around a lot of what we get with the consciousness study, but it was great. Yeah. And I did my dissertation on after death communication experiences, adaptive outcomes of grief. And my dissertation was nominated for the dissertation of distinction for my class. Oh, nice. I didn't win it, but I did get it published. So I wrote an academic article. It was one of the first ones. There weren't many out there. So now, you know, this was in 2004. It's been cited well over 100 times because more and more people are doing studies on this.
Yeah.
It's one of the foundational studies, which is really kind of cool, you know, and I actually developed a model of grief that includes after death communication experiences and maintaining continuing bonds with the deceased. I did a multiple case study, and I think I had 12 or 13 people. It was very easy to find participants because you find so many people have these experiences. Yeah. They're afraid to tell people about them, but I think people are more open about that now. But back then, people were more hush-hush about it. Yeah. All I had to do, I interviewed one person. I said, do you know anyone else who's had an experience like this? Oh, yeah, I do. And then they just loved, they wanted to be interviewed. They wanted to be in my study. And all but one, it led to like incredible outcomes for them in terms of personal development, grief resolution, personal development, spiritual development, changing belief systems. And then it was just one person that was a negative outcome.
Yeah. Oh, that's shame.
It was scary. Scary for her. And the relationship with the deceased was not a great relationship. So,
That's really interesting. Because of course you're going to find some that are going to be, you know, are going to have that. That's interesting.
Wow. It's not always like a positive thing because sometimes it's people get really scared. Yeah. Especially if they don't have the spiritual background or they don't have like the belief system already. It can be very scary for them.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. You know, but it's interesting that people would, sign up for something like that when, you know, I guess it's good. People keep an open mind. I just was thinking to myself, I'm wondering how do people that are so fearful of it, you know, move forward with that kind of study or whatever you want to, I don't know what you called it. Did you call it a study?
It was a study. It was an original the whole nine yards.
Wow. That's incredible.
And there was such a gap in the literature because so few people had done anything about, I had like maybe two or three resources I could draw. The field was open for me.
Yeah.
So it was amazing. And it was so great that I had a university who supported that kind of research, you know.
Sure.
Anyone's ever heard of Stanley Krippner, who is in the parapsychology world, is kind of famous. He was on my dissertation committee.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh my God.
I was really lucky, really lucky.
Wow. To like be actually studying that. I can't even fathom, you know, like when I was in college, I remember studying world religions. And I swear to God, I was so excited because I wanted to learn about Hinduism and Islam and Buddhism because I was young. I didn't know, you know, but it was so boring. And the guy was the teacher. It was so bad, you know, and I'm like, it doesn't have to be like this, you know, knowing what I know now, you know, it's like, oh, kill me.
I love my world religions teacher. He just made it really interesting.
So now I'm like really dying to get into some of these like haunted stuff. I'm like so fascinated. And you and I have talked about this before. I get a little bit, I don't want to say nervous, but like, it's an area of spirituality that I truly don't know anything about, right? Like, or very little, I guess I should say, right? So I have some questions. And if anybody else out there has questions,
I will answer what I know and based on my own experience.
Yeah, well, oh, absolutely. For sure. Yes.
Which could be different from someone else's experience.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's the beauty of this. It's all our own experiences that create it, you know? So, okay. So my first question is, why do spirits haunt places? Like why do spirits haunt, you know? And what is haunt?
Really? And what is haunt?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, there's multiple things that could be happening. One is just simply like a memory or an energy imprint in a place, particularly if it's a place where there has been trauma. And my guides actually gave me a little lesson in this a couple of weeks ago, because, you know, every morning when I wake up, it's school time, it's lesson time, and there's communication happening. So I don't need to do much meditation because I'm doing it before I even get out of bed. And
that they're is so cool. Yeah.
Literally, like, if I'm getting visions and they're talking to me, and it's been like sometimes pretty extreme training. But they gave me one recently, and they were showing me how, you know, things that you think about how long civilization has been here. Yeah. How, like, where you live, where your house is, where my house is, how long people have been in this area from ancient indigenous people. Mm-hmm. And their traumas will happen. People have traumas. There's wars, there's murder, there's things that happen. It can leave an imprint in the field, somehow in the quantum field, in the energy field, in another dimension. And it can cross over into our dimension. So they were showing me how, like, a house, you might have a fairly new house, and you're like, there's hauntings here. There's things happening that are paranormal. There, yeah. You know, things are moving or knocking, or I'm seeing apparitions, or I'm seeing orbs, or whatever it is, knocking, rapping, whatever it is that's happening. You're like, but nothing bad has ever happened here, and this is a fairly new house. I don't understand. Well, it's because just your house hasn't always been there. There have been other houses there. And so even when that house is gone, the imprint is still there.
Mm-hmm. The energy, yeah.
The energy is still there. And or some spirits, and I know some people just, they absolutely don't believe this. They say every spirit crosses over. I'm telling you, that's not my experience, that there are earthbound spirits. There are spirits who don't want to cross over, or who are afraid to cross over, or get lost, or get stuck, or get trapped, because everything on the other side, as we've talked about before, is not all rainbows and roses and love and light. Mm-hmm. So you think about the yin and the yang symbol, right? You've got the white part, you've got the dark part, and you've got the little circles in there. It's balance. Mm-hmm. So for as much as you have love and light and rainbows, you also have darkness. Okay. So what is darkness? What is evil? It is the absence of light.
Yeah.
What is light? Mm-hmm. And it coexists. So there are forces, there are dark forces that I have experienced that trapping earthbound or spirits that don't cross over.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I do sometimes is help them to cross over. And I literally had a vision of how that happened one time.
Ooh.
Because I was kind of new at it. And I was in this location, Theon and I were at this location, and used to be a Civil War hospital. So there was a lot of spirits there. There were a lot of trapped spirits there. There was just a lot of energy there. And I went into this room in this very, very old, you know, building, like a little house. And I felt it, you know, I felt the energy there, and I felt the people there. And I said, you know, and I just opened up, I have this ability that the veil thins around me. This is one reason why I have so many paranormal experiences.
Yeah.
Because my soul somehow has this ability to thin the veil, and things can come in and out, and it can be troublesome for me, but I have learned how to clear it. So anyway, I said, okay, there's somebody here that needs to leave. and I invited them. I said, I'm going to open this light. And I had my angel there, and I'm going to open this light. I'm going to open the veil. And if you want to cross over, you go to the light. You go to the light. And when I did that, I suddenly felt my body get like completely cold.
Oh.
And I just got very, very cold. And then I felt this vibration like go through me.
Oh my God.
And I knew without a doubt something was happening.
Yeah.
And then I got very, very hot.
Yeah.
And then it happened again. So it happened two times in a row.
Yeah.
And then I felt, I really felt, Theon was there and she was reading things as it was happening. And she could see this woman and this child that had gone through the doorway that, that we had opened up. This doorway of light, which mediums, you know, you could do that. Any medium can do this.
Yeah.
You can open up doorways like that. And so I'm like, wow, this is cool. I went outside after, I said, my work is done. I feel like I just did something really great. And I went outside and everybody's still, you know, doing their investigations. I went outside and it's, you know, dark. I lay in the grass and I'm looking, it was just a really nice night. I'm laying in the grass and I'm looking at the stars. And it happened to be when the Perseid meteor shower was going on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I could see the meteors. And a friend of mine came and she sat down next to me and I told her, you know, what had happened. I just know something happened and I feel like I have a new purpose. And as soon as I said, I feel like I have a new purpose, there was this light, this went boom, boom.
Oh my God.
Up in the sky. It was like this amazing flash. And she said, did you see that?
Oh my gosh.
And I said, oh my God, I saw that. You know, and I grabbed her hand and she said, oh my God, let go of my hand. Because she said there was this, like this energy that was just like piercing out of my hand. Well, I said, I don't know what's happening, but there's just something happening tonight.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what that light was.
Yeah.
It could have been an exploding meteor. It was a meteor shower night, yeah. But there was something about the timing of it. I had never seen anything like that before.
That is,
it was like an explosion.
Cool.
It was an explosion and the timing of it. So that next morning, so I get downloads, you know, during the night and the morning when I wake up and I literally see these visions behind my eyelids. Now, very, very, very few people know what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. because we have a clairvoyant space, you know, your eyes roll up, your eyes are closed and you can see pictures and you see visions.
Yeah.
I'm literally, my eyes are forward. My eyes are closed and I see things behind my eyelids. Okay. And I've only met one other person who knows what I'm talking about and that's happened.
Yeah.
So that night I saw it behind my eyelids. They showed me a woman. She, all I could see was from the waist down. She was very, very, very skinny. Her dress came just over her ankle and she was barefoot. And they said, somebody said that he threw her in the basement. He threw her in the basement. So even as a soul, a spirit, earthbound spirit, she was still being abused.
Yeah.
She was still being abused.
Yeah.
And then they showed me the doorway opening and I could see the doorway opening and she's coming towards it. And there is another spirit behind her going like this really big and his arms got really long and these sharp nails. And he's trying to keep her from going.
Oh my gosh.
And look, and this was, I got chills just thinking about this. This was like the coolest experience. And then I saw, and this was the first time I realized that I had this angel helping me do this.
Oh.
All I saw was just his arm and he had this staff and it had this round spear on it. And he threw it, boom, like this. And the staff came between that spirit coming after her and her, and he flew back.
Wow.
And then the doorway closed. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me.
Oh my gosh.
That is so amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. That is so amazing.
You,
and so they
really
just
helped. Oh my God.
It was a little video that played behind my eyelids. So it's not imagination. It's not clairvoyance. It's none of my regular psychic stuff. It was a video they played behind my eyelids. My eyelids were a screen.
Yeah.
And I saw how it happened.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, wow. And see, and that's one of the other things that are telling me, yes, there are traps. Spirits. Yes, yes, there are earthbound spirits. Yeah. And yes, we can help them.
Yeah. And you were able to help this lady because this man wouldn't let her go. Oh my God. That's such an amazing story. Holy crap.
He wouldn't let her go.
And by the way,
I don't know who this being is. Yeah. I've heard a guide refer to him one time and called him Nicholas.
Uh-huh.
But I've I'm not, I mean, I'm aware that he's there, but that's all I know. And that was the first I'd ever seen of him. And I'm like, wow, that is utterly cool.
That is so amazing.
I can do that. We mediums, we can do this work. Yeah. I can do this work.
Yeah.
And he's there and he's helping the spirits. Oh,
that is so cool. Okay. So I need to tell you, first of all, that we have a ton of comments that I want to share with you, but Melanie Rose is here and she was like, it was
Melanie. She was the one. Melanie was the one who was in the grass with me.
Yeah,
that was so and cool. She saw, Melanie, tell them. We saw that like boom, boom, flash in the sky. It was like incredible.
So amazing. Oh that my gosh. Melanie. That is so amazing. We have a whole bunch of questions. So I'm going to start with, this one because it was really interesting. Okay. So Ruby Jaluna, I hope she's still here. This is what she wrote. Not sure if just coincidence. I find myself catching things move out of the side of my eyes or just something catching my eye a lot. That makes me turn, but then nothing is there. But the feeling is so strong. So is that interesting? So it's kind of like, is that her, I don't know, I don't want to say confidence, but is that her trusting or not trusting? Or what would you say about that?
I would say that is her clairvoyance.
Yeah.
So you have two types of clairvoyance. You have subjective clairvoyance where you see visions, you see things in your mind's eye. But you also have objective clairvoyance, and this is when you can see with your eyeballs out here spiritual energies.
Yeah.
And so when it first starts opening up for you, you'll see it out of the side of your eye. And as that starts to develop, and it's important to acknowledge it, like when you see it, say, okay, I saw you. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
You know, as it develops for you, you'll start to see them last longer. You might see different colors, different shapes. You'll see it coming closer to the front of your eye. So, yeah, I would just call that her clairvoyance.
Yeah. And like Julie said, keep acknowledging it. When it happens, say, oh, hi, how are you? You know, you know? I mean, because that's how you start to build your confidence in your personal spiritual gifts.
Now, I will say if you see like a spot, if you see something spot, a spot that is like black tar, don't acknowledge it. Just call in your angel to clear it.
But that's different than a shadow though, right?
That's different from a shadow. Okay. It's like there's like black tar energies that are negative energies. So you just call your angel, call your archangel to clear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you tell them to get out. You can tell them to get out or just don't acknowledge it.
Right.
And just call your angel.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point to it, I think, is that when we recognize and we realize that we have the power to set the boundaries, we can say, and you have to be forceful. You say, you are not welcome here. And that's, you know, I mean, you might say it differently, but you know, I'm like, no, I mean, for me, you know, it's like, okay, bye-bye. You guys got to go. You got to go.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, if it's something dark, just engaging in it can make it worse or make it like they might take it as an invitation.
Yeah.
So it's really good to just call your angel for help.
Yeah.
and don't engage with it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So now we have a question from Dose of Sunshine. How can someone get trapped with spirit guides? Is that part of their soul contract to be earthbound? It's an interesting question.
Yeah, it's a good question. Do you want to try to hit that, Laura, or do you want me to?
Why don't you go? Because I feel like that I'm not quite clear on what she means by trapped with spirit guides. So,
if you have a spirit guide, yeah. How can you be trapped if you have a spirit guide?
Right.
Well, because we have free will. Because we have free will.
Yeah.
So, you know, people will die and there may be, and they may, I think everybody has some kind of guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's your deceased relative, somebody has guides. And a lot of times it's our relatives that are trying to help us, right, to cross over, as I understand it. But we have free will. Some people don't want to cross over.
Yeah.
So they may be afraid of judgment, especially if they grew up in a fundamentalist religious background and they feel like they've sinned and they might go to hell. They may be afraid to do that, may be afraid of judgment. And so then they get trapped.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you a really, really good book to read. This is an awesome book to read by Marianne Winkowski, if you haven't read that before, called When Ghosts Speak. And When Ghosts Speak. And she is the person that, I don't know if you ever saw The Ghost Whisperer. I used to love that show.
Yes, love that show.
That show was based on her and her life.
Oh, yeah, Allison. And, Allison. I'm thinking of Medium.
Oh, yes. Jennifer Love Hewitt played that role. So Marianne Winkowski answers a lot of questions like that. And she is truly the expert. Yeah. You know, she's been doing this since she was a tiny child.
Yeah.
But free will, fear of crossing over, and then missing the opportunity on crossing over, then they can get trapped. You know, and I actually had a channeling experience with a girl who came to me who had not crossed over. She was a teenage girl who had committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
This was another one of those eyelid things that was very, very real and very poignant. And Theon actually had communication with this girl as well. And I had a channeling experience with her. And I'm asking this very same question. How can she's like, was 15 years old when she died. How can she be trapped? How can she be lost?
Yeah.
And I saw an angel with her, but the angel was like not acting. The angel was just waiting.
Yeah.
The angel was just waiting for her. And so we had to do that intermediary thing with her. And there were things she needed to understand, needed someone to understand, and that she needed to understand. Because what she said to me when she came to me in the middle of the night was, she said, "Oh, I guess I'm still here."
Oh my gosh.
She killed herself, but she didn't think she would continue to exist. She, you know, did not think she would still be here. Now she's still here, and now what?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, dear, you are still here.
Yeah.
So when Theon and I and another medium, we called her in and did an intermediary type situation with her and went through her story and validated her experience. And then we called in Jesus.
Yeah.
We called in Jesus. As soon as we called in Jesus, I could see Jesus as she would have seen him.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard her start to sing,
yeah,
"Jesus Loves Me." I heard her. I'm getting chills.
Yeah.
She said to me, "This I know." And then I saw her leave with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, I have chills just remembering it.
I actually had a situation. I'm going to try to be respectful in case the person is on here, but I had a situation last week. There was a building with lots of children that had a part of their souls. I'm not going to get into this too much because it's kind of more, you know, but they had part of their soul stuck there. Okay. And I was with a group, and some of my students are here, so they might know. But what ended up happening was that there was a lady there that was like a grandma, and all these kids, that part of their soul was stuck there. Like, we were trying to figure out how to, you know, I knew that we were supposed to do something, but I wasn't quite sure what it was, right? So as we're going through our thing, it dawned on me what was supposed to happen. So we called in the Christ energy. And we basically, this lady that was there, she was like a grandmother figure, and she was actually helping them cross. Once we opened the light, you know, we opened the circle of light, right? And I'm giving you the very short version of this, right? We opened the circle of light and we just allowed them to just go, you know? And this lady, this grandma type lady, was helping them go. And it was extraordinary. We all saw the same thing, like in our heads, you know, we all saw the same thing, and we all experienced that incredible energy. I mean, it was one of the most incredible, I mean, anytime you cross, I mean, I've been a part of circles where we cross people over or whatever. I've done that quite often, lots of times. But this one was so incredible because it was a group of, and it was just parts of the souls. It wasn't even like their whole, it was like stagnant energy that was there from these right. children that were there. So it was absolutely amazing. And, you know, it was just extraordinary. It was, you know, there's nothing more sort of satisfying about what we do and how we do this, you know? I mean, it's just extraordinary to be a part of that, because that's why I want to do this work, you know, to help people out, you know, to help souls out and stuff. Yeah. So
that's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. And you know, that brings back, you've heard of soul retrieval, like in shamanism and doing soul retrieval.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you're bringing that, like when you have these traumas and you're calling back your energy, calling back these pieces of your soul. Mm-hmm. Well, I have now reason to believe that we can do that from past lives as well. And so, because I've had this experience with my guides during one of our sessions, and they showed me like a specter of myself from past lives where I still was stuck somewhere.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then I did this healing work to call it back, to call that back.
Yeah.
And to hear that back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's so complex. And I feel like, you know, we just get a little like snippet of information. But when you start talking about multidimensional experiences and you're talking about the soul, we can't comprehend, our little brains just cannot comprehend the reality of the big picture. Yeah. So we just do the best we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So here's kind of an interesting question then. It kind of goes along with this. What constitutes something paranormal? Like the word is, it's kind of like, I'm wondering if it's along the lines of like psychic intuitive. They're basically the same thing, but you know, we worry about using the word. I mean, if you're a psychic, you kind of worry sometimes about using the word psychic because everybody thinks of that, you know, oh, hey, I'll read you for $20. And then they try to charge you $800 later, you know, that sort of thing.
Right. The stigma
of the word. Right. So I'm wondering if the word paranormal, is that like really, is it just like anything otherworldly? Like, how would you define it?
That's a great question. So, you know, because, you know, on paranormal mediums, what we're trying to say is this, all of this is really quite normal, right? Because it is part of our experience and it's part of so many different people's experience. It's pretty normal around my house. Anyway, things are happening here all the time. I would say that these are things that happen that cannot be explained by modern science.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have this apparition, you have, you know, and psychologists might say, well, you're having a hallucination, or, you know, your house like vibrates or rattles, and we'll say, okay, well, there must've been a little earthquake. You know, when things happen that we cannot measure with science, I'll call that paranormal. And then, you know, scientists will say, well, that's pseudoscience, that's fake science, you know, when we start trying to study it. But there's some things that you cannot apply the tools of science to, because it's not something that you can measure in objective 3D reality. Parapsychologists do a darn good job applying research methods and scientific methods to study phenomena. And, you know, you just read some of that, some of what they're doing is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
But there'll be another scientist who will try to debunk it. So they'll debunk it. And people who don't have a concept for it, if they don't have a theory, and here's the problem with trying to study the paranormal, if there's no theory to explain how it works, then they have a big problem with that. We don't have the theory. Now, we can talk about chaos theory and the holographic universe and quantum physics, and I feel like that's where the theory will come to explain a lot of the paranormal experiences that we have.
Yeah. The way you speak about it, what I love about the way you do what you do is that you talk about spirits with reverence, right? You don't yell at them. And we've had that discussion before. I won't go back there. But, you know, it's like, you know, you have reverence. You've experienced a lot of different things. And it's really exciting to see that you're still, because I know it's, you know, been a while for you. You still have that sort of, and I mean this in a good way, that like childish excitement, you know? And I feel like that I have that too, in a certain degree. Whenever I do readings or like a spirit pops through and it's a fun reading or whatever it is, you know, I'll be like, oh my gosh, you know? So I really appreciate that about you. So thank you for that.
Thank you for your kind words.
I don't say stuff unless I mean it. So there you go. Okay. So we have, Megan, and she is requesting a reading, and this is what she just asked. This would be a mediumship reading. She says, my dad died and I've been so depressed. It's hard for me to function. I need to know if he's okay. Do you want to go first and then I'll go, or go ahead?
No, I'm gonna let you go.
Okay.
I'm gonna let you go. Okay. This is your shine.
I'm feeling like that, Megan, I feel like that your father was emotional. and I'm saying that lovingly. I know I'm sort of giggling through that, but like, I mean it, like he was emotional. Like he would cry. I see him wiping tears away of like, just because he would, you know, like the Hallmark commercials that come up, you know, I feel like that he was sensitive. That's what I want to say. And Megan, if you could just give us yeses and nos so that we know if we're on the right track, you know, because if we're not, no is fine. You know, it's okay to say no, but it's always good to know why we're getting what we're getting. So yeah, give me yes. Yes. Oh, she's saying yes. Okay. First, he's showing me, and this is so interesting that, and I'm sorry to say it this way, but like a man is showing me a whole bunch of flowers. So I'm seeing like all these flowers around, and I don't know if like what that means. I'm just seeing a lot of flowers. Okay. So I'm going to give you that. He is absolutely fine on the other side. I feel like that he just looked, you tell me. I feel like that he looked like a teddy bear, like his whole way of being was just teddy bear. You know, I mean, that's just what I'm getting. And I just kind of want to go, oh, you know, so that's what I'm getting about that. Yeah. So he is absolutely fine on the other side. I really want to say that, he's with another lady. I feel like that this might've been his mother. It feels motherly. It could be a grandmother to him. Okay. So it'd be your grandmother or great grandmother. And I feel like that she's just really, really, sincere and sensitive and, you know, that sort of thing. And, yeah. So Megan, he is absolutely fine on the other side. He is so excited to be able to sort of be here tonight. So, he's just happy, like crying the happy tears is what I'm seeing. So, Julie, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah. I'm not seeing a very old guy. He seems like he could be our age. I don't know how old he is, but I'm just kind of seeing a middle-aged person. And what I'm getting is there is the concern about your grief, Megan, and he doesn't want to see you grieve so, and he wants to get through to you, but it will not be until after you get some equilibrium and the grief starts to, you know, you never get over your grief. You will always grieve your father, but across time, things will get better. Things will get better. So when you're relaxed sometime and you least expect it, you may have an experience of your father. Yeah. And I did see a sign, like a rainbow, and I just saw a rainbow that this will be a sign for you that he may have for you rainbows and also butterflies. So just stay open, and songs that come on the radio. So there may be a favorite song that you're just like going down the road, you know, you're in the car or wherever it is you are, not thinking about too much. And there'll be something about the synchronicity of it, about your relationship with your father, something like a favorite song that song and something that you're thinking about. And like, just in this moment, it'll just hit you and you'll hear this song and you're like, oh, you're going to feel your dad. And so it's these experiences that will happen for you that are going to be a big help for you.
That's awesome.
If your dad is doing fine, it was his time.
Yeah.
He's saying it was his time, but he's really sorry that he had to leave you.
Yeah. And Megan says, is he with my mom and nephew? And then she says, that happened to me the other day. Oh my God, I'm in tears, she said. So I'm thinking that, I'm assuming, Megan, you can clarify, but a song came on or something happened. And yeah. So know that those certain circumstances, Megan, that's them. That's your loved ones on the other side. Like, acknowledging that, you know, like, I shouldn't say they're acknowledging, they're acknowledging that you can be there. Like, you can talk to them. I'm not speaking quite right tonight, but I'm hoping you know what I mean. You know, I mean, it's like it's their way of communicating with you. And, you know, and I can say this with sort of some authority because my mother died 5 years ago, and she was like, we talked all the time and we just had this really good friend type relationship, right? But it's just a different type of relationship now. And it took a little while to get used to it, but we have just a different type of relationship now, but it's amazing. I love it. You know, she's still here and I'm so blessed because of that. So yeah. All good. She says her heart is so full right now. So much love to you, Megan. Much love, much love. Okay. So Vuvu, who is my friend Deja, she says, can you explain residual energy? I had an animal energy walking through my house at the very same time every night. When I recognized it, it stopped happening. That's cool.
Wow.
I like that.
Wow. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of looking at that. I don't know that I can explain residual energy. It's like these mysteries in life. Mm-hmm. But we know that we leave energy behind, and that I've experienced the spirit of my dog that died in October. I actually saw like the glow of it on a walk with the other dog. It's like she was walking there with us. So yeah, you know, I'm just kind of feeling that when you recognized the energy, that you still may experience this energy again. But when you recognized it, it was kind of like, okay, now you can go. Now you can go. You don't have to walk through here anymore. I don't need to see you anymore. So like seeing it, acknowledging it, there was something about seeing it, acknowledging that it was there. There was something about something that you had to learn. And so now you don't need to see it anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I even have seen the energy, talking about residual energy, I see the residual energy of living people. I have seen this, and I've seen it with my friend Theon. You know, when we were traveling in Portland, we were having some big experiences there. But I saw it with a coworker one time in my office in a university, and this man was someone who had like really, really big energy. He was a little, he was just, I'll just say high strung. Okay. His energy
was everywhere. Those are the best ones.
Yeah. And he sat down in my chair and we were talking and it's like, I'm ready for him to leave because it's like, me. But when he does leave, I saw like colors and energy, like just kind of dancing around in the chair where he was. So I could see with my eyes that this residual energy still exists. And you know, there is, some, I don't know if you ever read the Afterlife Experience Experiments by Gary Schwartz. You should read the Afterlife Experiments. This is by Gary Schwartz. He's a professor, a psychologist at the University of Arizona, pretty well known for this work that he did. And he did this work with mediums. But at any rate, this is one way he explained it. And I love this way of explaining it. When you look up at the sky and you see the stars, the light that you see of the stars can be millions and many, many millions of years old. That star may no longer even be there, but you still see the light. Because the light doesn't die. The light still continues. That light, if that star is gone, but we still see the light, that's like the residual energy.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's similar too with the experience that you're talking about, that you were talking about you have with the children, and there were soul fragments there.
Yeah.
That's a residual energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Or when we're doing these soul retrievals, we have residual energy that we're calling back to ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, that may have been separated through like the trauma. Usually your energy gets stuck somewhere from because of trauma.
Yeah. Well, and that's what it was. There had been a whole bunch of trauma there. And mm-hmm. so it was all of this energy, you know, the whole story is incredible, you know, but you know, I just, whenever something like that happens, gosh, I just feel so blessed to be able to do what I do, because there's nothing better than that feeling, you know, of helping a spirit cross. I mean, my gosh, you know, so really interesting. Okay. So, Ruby says, I would love a reading. My grandma passed 1.5 years ago. It's been really hard. My best friend, hold on, I can't see all this. My best friend and so close till her dementia started. I'm not sure what exactly that means. I have been afraid to try and reach out to her in guided meditations. I'll just jump right in because I'm feeling this person. I'm feeling whoever it is with dementia. I don't know if you guys could see my face sort of change, but I was like, oh my goodness. And that's my sign for the energy of somebody that has dementia or Alzheimer's, something along those lines. And I was like, I'm still like, I can feel my head swaying back and forth. And when you're doing mediumship, for those of you that are just learning, right? When you talk about it, it helps to release that energy. So you want to feel the energy, but you don't want to feel it for too long. Let me just put it that way, right? So now I'm just kind of releasing that energy. So Ruby, I'm saying all that because I am feeling like I don't know if your grandma like used to take little walks. I don't know if she would get lost, because I'm seeing her as like an older lady, like taking walks, you know, and I feel like that she was having a blast. Like she loved going for a walk and being in nature. She loved that in like a garden or like a park or something like that. But I feel like that she might've gotten lost a few times. And she's looking at me now. I feel like she's turning to me and she's looking at me and saying, it's just, I just loved being outside and I just love where I'm at right now. And I get to walk as much as I want. My feet and my legs don't hurt. And I'm able to just keep walking. So I'm just going to leave you with that, Ruby. So Julie, are you tapping into that energy at all?
I'm not really, I'm like so into what you're saying. I'm not really tapping into
okay.
it. But I just saw like these pearl, like this little pearl necklace, or beads or pearl necklace. So I don't know if she had one or if mm-hmm. she gave you one or what, but I just had a flash of this necklace. And I also have this sense that she really is just like around you a lot and is still a major component of your life.
Yeah.
Cause she's watching and she's guiding you in ways you may not be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, just know that grandma is around. Yeah. So
yeah. And so Ruby, if you could just tell us if that fit, or if you can understand all of that. So yeah, that's great. Oh, my grandmother loved going for walks and loved flowers in nature, but she has been confused before on walks. She had a pearl necklace that my sister kept. She was my BFF. Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss, Ruby. That's just so sad. You know, there's nothing worse, you know, than losing somebody that you love so much. But again, Ruby, don't be scared to sit in meditation and try to just connect, you know, yeah. Because it's a brand new relationship. So that would be my advice for you.
Yes. Those bonds and those relationships certainly continue and can continue beyond death. And pay attention to your dreams, because I feel like if you haven't already, you will have dream connections with your grandma.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Okay. So Deja, the one that was asking about the residual energy and about the pet, she says our house was built on a farmland.
Oh,
makes so much sense.
That makes sense. You know what? Yeah. Because, and some of this, these are imprints, just memory imprints that it's, who knows how that works?
I know, right? Exactly. Exactly. But you know what I heard? I love your take on this. I heard a long time ago, and this goes back to, what was the big battle in Ireland? Can't think of the big battle. There was a massive battle in Ireland. And, what happened was, is that it's still like open, like you can still go on the, I forget the name of the battle, but you can still like walk on the battlefield and stuff, right? So somebody told me one time that because so many other people have left their energy there, so many people have walked through, that the energy has kind of dissipated. What are your thoughts on that? How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I think it's there, you know, in the way my guides explained it to me when
Culloden.
We were talking about
Sorry,
the house.
It was Culloden.
Yeah, the house. When my guides were telling me, and they're showing me how the house is no longer there, but they would say, this is where the chair was. Yeah. And Mary Ellen is, you know, she's still here. Her energy is still here.
Right.
That this can last an eternity.
Yeah.
And where there was trauma, even though we have people milling about, you think about it. That the impact on the field, the impact on the quantum field, the impact in I'm just call it the quantum field, is not the same as where you have all of this death and this violence. It leaves something there and it does not go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Theon said, I'm assuming it's Theon says, was that the one from Braveheart? I've never seen Braveheart, so I don't know.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's an intense movie.
Yeah. And I remember, I think I've told you this story before, but I grew up very close to where on September 11th, Flight 93 went down. I grew up 45 minutes away from there. So I've been up there twice. The first time I went, I didn't feel anything, absolutely nothing. And it was weird. And all I could think of was, why am I not feeling anything? I mean, you'd think, you know, because there's so much that happened, you know, and I couldn't feel anything. And it bugged me, right? Because I'm thinking, oh my God, what's wrong with my mediumship? I guess what's wrong, you know? But then a couple of years later, I went back again. And that was why I asked you that question, because I was starting to wonder if it was because there had been so many people walking around there, and you talk about, you know, the residual energy and that sort of thing. I ended up, having a full-on conversation with somebody, and I kind of don't remember whether it was a male or female, that had been on the plane. And if this makes you feel better, I don't know if it would, but I think that the plane was upside down when it crashed. And I think everybody was either almost dead or dead by the time the plane actually crashed. So the person told me that, and the person meaning the spirit person told me that. And that, for me, that just made me feel so much better because, you know, oh my God, I mean, yeah. I don't even need to say how that would, you know, make anybody feel, but it's really fascinating. It's really fascinating how this all works, you know? It's just energy, you know? I just, oh my gosh, you know? So just real quick, I know we don't have much time left, but how did you sort of, like, did you always know that there was something going on with you? Or like, did it happen right when you, you know, when you were a little bit older? Or like, how did you figure out that you had,
gifts? I've had, you know, spontaneous psychic experiences since at least my 20s. You know, I'm 57 now. So since my 20s, I would have, and I knew there was something going on in my 20s, especially when I was in law enforcement, because that's when I became most aware of it.
That is amazing.
During life-threatening situations, it saved my life at least once. So I have some pretty like intense stories from law enforcement about that. And it's like, I knew I was psychic. I knew I had something going on. But what I know now is that everybody is psychic, and that anyone who's having life-threatening situations will probably tap into their psychic ability out of need and out of survival. But even as a child, I mean, it's not like I was seeing spirits, you know, like our friend Melanie has been seeing spirits since she was a child. I wasn't like seeing spirits, but I was like super empathic.
Yeah.
And I could feel the energy of people. I would know people without speaking to them, just being around them. I knew if I liked them or not, or if I felt safe around them or not. And I also know I had out-of-body experiences as a child. Mm-hmm. But I, like any child, think it's, well, what's the big deal? That's like normal. That's life. But it wasn't until when I hit 50, like I had a lot of experiences when I was in grad school and I was in my 30s too. And then it all kind of pushed it all down when I went into my professional life because I just couldn't do both in my professional life as a university professor and a community college instructor. But when I hit 50, it like pounded on me. The paranormal experiences started seeing the spirit energies, things, weird things happening, apports, spirit apports. And that might be something fun to talk to people about sometimes about what apports are, then there was no denying it. Yeah. And I had to seek help to develop it at that point.
Sure.
I had to seek help to develop it. So I, you know, went into a pretty intensive training with Deborah Lynn Katz at the International School of Clairvoyance for 2 years, you know, and it was pretty intensive and lots and lots and lots of practice. And I learned so much. So, yeah. So that's that. Now I'm doing it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Professionally.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's so fantastic. Oh my gosh. So, okay. So, how can people reach you?
Well, probably the best way is I have two places because you can reach me on evolveme.com and then also my personal website, which is juliestarparker.com. So www.juliestarparker.com. And then I'm also on Facebook and Instagram as Julie Star.
There you go.
Parker on Facebook and Julie Star 33 on Instagram.
And it's two R's in star.
Two R's.
Right.
Two R's.
Got it. And every Wednesday night they do, Theon and Julie do paranormal mediums show. Yep. And what time is that again? It's at 7?
8 o'clock Eastern.
8 o'clock Eastern time. So if you're interested, join them. And that's on like all over the place. It's going to be on the Evolve Me YouTube and Facebook and probably your Facebook and all, you know, you can find it, you know. So thank you.
The best place, just go to Evolve Me.
Yeah.
Evolve Me.
Exactly.
With no E. It's just EVOLVME.
.com.
Evolve Me.
Yeah. And Evolve Me is... Boy, I, you know, it's funny because as we were going through this, I was thinking about how I found you guys, you know, and it's so interesting because sometimes, you know, you have like you get emails when you do this kind of work, you get crazy emails all the time. And so most of the time it's like delete, you know, but I got something on Instagram and I was like, I heard, pay attention to this one, you know? And I was like, ooh, and oh my gosh, the first time I ever met Theon, I was like, I'm going to know this lady for like the rest of my life. I mean, you know how you just, you just know, you know, so spirit puts people together. So I think that's so exciting, you know? Oh, love you guys, Rachel. Love you, Theon.
Love you guys.
So thank you so much for coming, Julie. I really appreciate it tonight.
This thanks for having me.
So much fun. Oh, and you can reach me at laurialbert.com. I have an events page. And thanks so much for coming, everybody. Thanks again, Julie. And love to you all. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.